ॐ अज्ञानतमेनन्दस्य जनाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुस्मिलितञ्जेन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनुभीष्टं स्तुपितं धेनुतले सायं प्रकृतमायं नृपृथिवीस्तवनन्तिकम् पञ्चकोपचुर्भ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुवैश्च पतितनं भमिनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः Prahlad Maharaj is preaching to his school friends. Telling them about the soul and how the soul is covered within the different elements of the material body. And one's intelligence perceives through the potency of the soul, through the consciousness of the soul, coming through material intelligence, that consciousness is realized in three different states: wakefulness, dreaming, and a dreamingless sleep. And through all these three states of consciousness, the intelligence is perceiving what it thinks is reality. But it is not exactly reality. It is being caused by covering over the intelligence, filters over the pure consciousness of the soul. And if these conditions are being forced upon the soul, that means that there is something above the soul. And that above the soul entity is called the super soul. The soul is the Atma, the self. And the Paramatma is the super self, the supreme Atma. And by the grace of the Paramatma, the soul can realize who he is. He can realize himself as different from all the different coverings, and he can realize his relationship with the Lord. He can disentangle himself. But that only comes by the grace of the Paramatma. Because that soul, Prahlad is explaining, is eternal. And his being attached with an enjoying spirit to that which is produced in the material world is the cause of all his problems, his entanglement. So Prahlad then explains the best way to get out of the entanglement, and that is in very sweet verses. Prabhupada's purport are very, very sweet, explaining the process of Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga, beginning with guru susaya bhaktya, rendering service to the bona fide spiritual master, bhakti with faith and devotion. Practically, these two verses give a full description of the process of devotional service. And then in the next verse, that describes glorifying the Lord as transcendental qualities, always meditating on the Lord's lotus feet, worship of the deity strictly according to the injunctions of Shastra and Guru. So, through understanding that we're souls, then understanding the super soul, then one comes to the relationship between the soul and the super soul, which means surrender and service, and this is the process that's being described. Then in text 32, one should always remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his localized representation as the Paramatma, who is situated in the core of everyone's heart. So one should always remember God. and always surrender to Him, always turn to Him, always give up our own concept of what we think is good for us in the selfish sense. When we have a limited concept of ourself, thinking ourself as the material body, then naturally we think what's good for us has to do with that limited self, the material body. But if we expand our understanding, when we understand that we are Krishna's part and parcel, we understand that when our concept of self expands to its actual self, our relationship with Krishna, then what's in our self-interest, it changes from our full self, from our material body, to serving the Supreme Self, the Super Soul. And to always be mindful of that, our relationship with Krishna, sarvadamam prityajam amekam sharanam braja, never thinking, oh, when I'm free from illusion, I will become Narayan, I will become the Lord. No, we regain our position, our natural position of service to the Lord. So by these activities of devotional service, this is text 33, we'll begin reading the verse. By these activities, as mentioned above, taking shelter of the Guru, glorifying the Lord, following Guru's instructions, worshipping the deity, always remembering the Lord. By these activities, one is able to cut down the influence of the enemies, namely lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and jealousy. And when thus situated, when these enemies have been cut down, then, when thus situated, one can render service to the Lord. In this way, one surely attains the platform of loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, sometimes when someone does something that we don't like, either in a very gross sense or a subtle sense, maybe we become angry at them and we wish them harm. We may even think of them as the enemies, as our enemy. But who actually is our enemy? What's actually our enemy? Here it is described. And when one is able to cut down these enemies, the influence of the enemies, namely lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and jealousy, just imagine that these are the real enemies of our welfare. We consider someone an enemy when we think that they have gotten in the way of what's good for us. These are the greatest enemies, the only enemies. Lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and jealousy. When situated, when those are cleared away, then one can render devotional service to the Lord. In this way, one surely attains the platform of loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here's Prabhupada's purport. This is the result also that comes from always thinking of the Lord within the heart. Then, if we're always thinking of Him, Krishna Surya Sam Maya Hai Andhakar, the darkness of Maya, if we're always surrendering to Him, the darkness of Maya is dissipated. Like when the sun comes out, darkness automatically is vanquished. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As mentioned in verses 30 and 31, one's first duty is to approach the spiritual master, the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to begin rendering service to Him. Prahlad Maharaj proposed that from the very beginning of life, Komara acharet pragya, a small child should be trained to serve the spiritual master while living at the Gurukula. Brahmachari Gurukule Vashandanto Gurohitam, Bhagavatam 7:12.1. This is the beginning of spiritual life. Guru Parasraya Saruvat Manavartanam Sadharma Pricha. By following the instructions of the Guru and the Shastras, the disciple attains the stage of devotional service and becomes unattached to possessions. Vachandanto means the control of all the senses, self-control. So this is more easily done when one is young, because if one allows one's senses to get out of control when one is young, if one does any old thing and just enjoys life with the sense that when one is young, then it is so hard to bring the mind under control when one is older. And then, what to speak of the... Then if the mind is out of control, how are the senses be brought under control? So first, actually, the senses are brought under control by a different power, the spiritual master. He says, do this, do this, don't do that. So by surrendering to the spiritual master, even though our mind may be raging and rebelling, I want to do this, I want to do that, gimme, gimme, gimme. But by surrender to one's spiritual master, then the senses are brought under control and the mind will then cool down. And then when one is more mature, the authority is transferred, in a sense, from the spiritual master to one's self. Self-controlled. And sadhu vartmanavartate, following the path of the sadhus. By following the instructions of the guru and the shastras, the disciple attains the stage of devotional service. By following these instructions, one actually becomes a devotee and becomes unattached to possessions. Whatever he possesses, he offers to the spiritual master, the guru, who engages him in shravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu. So with a peaceful mind, a peaceful and surrendered mind, if one hears the words from an exalted personality, the Krishna Katha, the words describing the pastimes of Krishna, then those words, if one's mind is submissive and pure, one gets incredible realizations. One realizes Krishna through the potency of the words of the sadhu and the receptivity of a pure-hearted person. So once the senses are under control, and while the senses are getting under control, the spiritual master will engage the disciple in shravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu. The disciple follows strictly in this way, learns how to control his senses. So the positive, he's hearing about Krishna, he's engaging his body in Krishna's service, he's smelling the incense offered to the Lord, he's tasting the prasadam offered to the Lord, engaging his hands in cleansing the temple, his eyes in seeing the beautiful form of the deity, his mind in service and in hearing and chanting about Krishna. Then by using his pure intelligence, he gradually becomes a lover of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed by Srila Rupa Goswami, Ado Shraddha Tatta Saru Sangha. In this way, one's life becomes perfect and his attachment for Krishna becomes positively manifested. In that stage, he is situated in ecstasy, experiencing bhava and anubhava, as explained in the following verses. So by engaging in devotional service, remembering Krishna, conquering the enemies of lust, anger, and greed, etc., then one makes advancement and becomes situated in deep Krishna consciousness, as described in texts 34-36. We'll read the verses first and then read the purports. One who is situated in devotional service is surely the controller of his senses, and thus he is a liberated person. He's not under the control of the modes of material nature, he's under the control of Krishna. His senses are under control. First his control, and then ultimately under Krishna's control. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakta Uchite. When such a liberated person, the pure devotee, hears of the transcendental qualities and activities of the Lord's incarnations for the performance of various pastimes, His hair stands on end on his body. Tears fall from his eyes. And in his spiritual realization, his voice falters. Sometimes he very openly dances. Sometimes he sings loudly. And sometimes he cries. Thus, he expresses his transcendental jubilation. When a devotee becomes like a person haunted by a ghost, he laughs and very loudly chants about the qualities of the Lord. Sometimes he sits to perform meditation, and he offers respects to every living entity, considering him a devotee of the Lord. Constantly breathing very heavily, he becomes careless of social etiquette and loudly chants like a madman, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, O my Lord, O Master of the universe. The devotee is then freed from all material contamination because he constantly thinks of the Lord's pastimes and because his mind and body have been converted to spiritual qualities. Because of his intense devotional service, his ignorance, material consciousness, and all kinds of material desires are completely burnt to ashes. This is the stage at which one can achieve the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. So when one is purified, one can take shelter of the Lord. And then when one takes shelter of the Lord in ecstasy, one is purified still further. And one attains the full shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. So read Prabhupada's purports to these very wonderful verses spoken by Prahlad Maharaj. The Lord's activities are uncommon. What does that mean, that the Lord's activities are uncommon?
Extraordinary. They're extraordinary.
Yes. What else? They're extraordinary.
Esoteric?
Yeah. But they cannot be done by a common man. They are uncommon. They're extraordinary. They are very wonderful. He performed uncommon activities like bridging the ocean. Similarly, when Lord Krishna appeared, he raised Govardhan Hill when he was only 7 years old. 7 years of age. These are uncommon activities. Fools and rascals who are not in the transcendental position consider these uncommon activities of the Lord to be mythological. But when the pure devotee, the liberated person, hears about these uncommon activities of the Lord, he immediately becomes ecstatic and exhibits the symptoms of chanting, dancing, and crying very loudly and jubilantly. This is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. Prabhupada's purport to 35. When one chants the holy name of the Lord in ecstasy, not caring for outward social conventions, it is to be understood that he is atma-mati. In other words, his consciousness is turned towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right now our consciousness is bahyamukh. We have turned our back on the Lord. And what needs to be done is we have to turn towards Him. And then the shadow of Maya will be out of the shadow of Maya. Just like when we turn our back to the sun, all we see is our shadow. And when we face the sun, there is no shadow. So similarly, when we face Krishna, there is no Maya. So we have to turn our consciousness to Krishna. Have to, meaning that it is in our interest to do that, and that is the purpose of Krishna consciousness. Now we're averse to Krishna. We've become inimical to Krishna because we want to be in the center. And he's the great competitor. But it is foolish, obviously, to make Krishna our competitor because we are certain to lose. But rather, we should cooperate with him. We should become his servant. That's natural. So, atma-mati, consciousness turned towards Krishna with devotion, not just externally doing what we're told, but with great devotion, with love, with affection, doing service for him, seva. Prabhupada's purport to 36. When a devotee is completely purified, he becomes anya bilasita sunya. That means All other desires, abhilas, anya, all other desires, shunya, become nothing. No other desire except to please Krishna. When that desire is burning in the heart to please Krishna, jnanam karma anavritam, no desires for either knowledge or karma or fruit of activities. But the desire to serve Krishna is burning within the heart. This is wonderful. This is pure devotional service. Jnana karma anavritam anukulena, very favorably disposed to Krishna with great loving devotion. Anukulena Krishna nashilalam. That cultivation is called pure devotional service. In other words, all of his material desires become zero, being burnt to ashes. So what would burn them to ashes? The great taste, the great and natural taste that comes from an awakened loving relationship with Krishna. So burnt to ashes, the material desires, and he exists either as the Lord's servant, friend, father, mother, or conjugal lover. Because one thinks constantly in this way, one's present material body and mind are fully spiritualized. And the needs of one's material body completely vanish from one's existence. An iron rod is put into a fire and becomes warmer and warmer. And when it is red hot, it is no longer iron, but fire. It is no longer an iron rod, but fire. Similarly, when a devotee constantly engages in devotional service and thinks of the Lord as in his original Krishna consciousness, he no longer has any material activities, for his body is spiritualized. His body is spiritualized, his mind is spiritualized, his intelligence is spiritualized, his consciousness is spiritualized. The fire of love for Krishna is burning within him. No material activities, no material consciousness, no material body. Advancement in Krishna consciousness is very powerful. Tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushapara pushes everything out of the way. And therefore, even during this life, such a devotee has achieved the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. He's a jivan mukta. Because he's using everything in Krishna's service. This transcendental ecstatic existence of a devotee was completely exhibited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya writes as follows: Tadbhava bhava tadyata surupam bhakti keche bhakta vin. Vinrityam tigayanti chayate chitam kechit tushnam japantyeva kechit sobaya karina. The ecstatic condition of devotional service was completely exhibited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who sometimes danced, sometimes cried, sometimes sang, sometimes remained silent, and sometimes chanted the holy name of the Lord. That is perfect spiritual existence. So now, Prahlad Maharaj is reaching his conclusion after describing the difference between the soul and the body, and the super soul being there with the soul, and the soul should take shelter of the super soul and disentangle himself from the material body by rendering devotional service as described, and achieve the ecstatic position where the soul is aflame in his relationship with Krishna. So then, text 37, conclusion. The real problem of life is the repetition of birth and death, which is like a wheel rolling repeatedly up and down. This wheel, however, completely stops when one is in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, by the transcendental bliss realize from constant engagement in devotional service, one is completely liberated from material existence. Such a natural process. By experiencing the bliss of devotional service, everything material is completely minimized. Prabhupada's purport, which we'll read, will explain that. The value of everything else is completely minimized. Prabhupada told the story once. He was traveling by train many years ago. In the Calcutta station, he saw some poor person carrying a burnt piece of wood with them. What was the meaning of that? And what did Prabhupada see in that? That when one is very poor and has nothing, one sees the value of that, of a burnt piece of wood. And it is valuable when one is very poor, because with that one can get some warmth, maybe cook his food. But if one is a Kurapati, one has thousands and millions of dollars, then his perspective on that wood will certainly change. Its value will diminish when one is truly wealthy. When one has nothing, every little thing seems so important and valuable. But one has the highest thing, the greatest wealth, and petty material pleasure is completely insignificant. Completely insignificant. So when one, Prahlad is saying, when one has the bliss of constant engagement in devotional service, he's completely liberated from material existence. Because he has the greatest wealth. What is the value of the a piece of broken wood or broken glass, as Dhruva Maharaj says? When one is poor, one may think a sparkling piece of glass, a piece of glass broken off of some bottle that's sparkling in the sun, one may think that's very valuable. But when one has diamonds and rubies and pearls, what is the value of that glass? And if one is always looking for glass, on the other hand, one won't be looking for, in the right way, in the right place, for the truly valuable things. But in any case, when one has the bliss that comes along with Krishna consciousness, then material existence is in its proper perspective. So one is completely liberated from material existence. His ecstasy in Krishna consciousness is burned to ashes, his material desires, which are the cause of our material existence. And Prahlad Maharaj concludes here by saying, therefore, my dear friends, O sons of the Asuras, immediately begin meditating upon and worshipping the Supersoul within everyone's heart. So now Prabhupada is going to explain some points about this. First, he explains that there is great happiness in becoming released from material existence and experiencing Brahma Sukha, or happiness of becoming one with the Lord. So one can take the happiness of becoming one with the Lord, taste that happiness, but then, of course, such Brahma Sukha, or the happiness of becoming one with the Lord, undoubtedly eliminates material happiness. But when one advances through impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead in relationship with Him as a servant, friend, parent, or conjugal lover, one's happiness becomes all-pervading. Then one automatically feels transcendental bliss, just as one becomes happy upon seeing the shining of the moon. One acquires natural happiness upon seeing the moon. But when one sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one's transcendental happiness increases hundreds and thousands of times. As soon as one is very intimately connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one surely becomes free from all material contamination. So this is the real challenge of life, to become intimately connected with Krishna. Then all problems solved. That's like if we were very intimately connected with the most powerful person in the country, if he was our dear, dear friend and there was great love exchanged between us, what would we be worrying about? So if we become intimately connected with the Lord, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, all omnipresent, he is everywhere, all wealth, all fame, all strength, all renunciation, all beauty, then what is there to worry about? So therefore, Prahlad is speaking this from the realized platform, because although his father is threatening him and his teachers were threatening him, there he is right in the school preaching to the students exactly what they told him not to talk about or think about or be. Not only is he remaining fixed in his loving devotion to Vishnu, but he's getting the other students to be in that mood as well. And he's still fearless. He's still not thinking in terms of friends and enemies. Excuse me, he is fearless. He's not fearful at all. Excuse me, he's not... Which is it again? He's not fearful. He is fearless. Because... Look who he's associating with constantly, Krishna. As soon as one is very intimately connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one surely becomes free from all material contamination. Yanvrittis tanubritam. This cessation of all material happiness is called nirvritti or nirvan. Srila Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Brahmanando bhavede sha chet paradha guni kritaha naiti bhakti sukham bodhe paramanu tulamapi. If Brahmananda, the bliss of merging in the Brahman effulgence, were multiplied 100 trillion times, it would still not equal even an atomic fragment of the ocean of transcendental bliss felt in devotional service. So the absence of material happiness and distress is this Brahma Sukha. And that's what Rishabdev told his sons, Brahma Sukham Tvanantam. This is what one should truly relish in life. Shudye, purified the heart so that one can relish Brahma Sukham, unending Tvanantam. But when one takes the bliss of that Brahma Sukham, which is far superior, burns up any desire for material happiness. But if one takes that bliss and multiplies it how many times? 100 trillion times, or an unlimited amount of times, one doesn't even get an equal portion of one drop from the ocean of transcendental bliss in devotional service. So therefore, Mahaprabhu said, Anandam Bhudi Vardhanam. He compared Krishna consciousness, which one attains by chanting the Lord's holy name, to an unending ocean of bliss, unlimitedly unending ocean of bliss. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatmana Sochatina Kangshati Samasaveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. One who is transcendentally situated at once realizes this is supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. So joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed towards all living entities. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto the Lord. Bhagavad Gita 18:54. If one advances further from the Brahma Nirvana platform, one enters the stage of devotional service, Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. The word Adhokchad Jalam Bham refers to keeping the mind always engaged in the Absolute Truth, who is beyond the mind in material speculation. Savai Mana Krishna Paradavindayor. This is the result of deity worship. By constantly engaging in the service of the Lord and thinking of his lotus feet, one is automatically freed from all material contamination. On the other hand, if one is always trying to get rid of all material contamination, it doesn't work, because one's just meditating upon all the contamination that one has and one shouldn't have. But on the other hand, on the prime hand, if one always keeps his mind focused on the lotus feet of the Lord, then one gets automatically freed. One accepts Krishna fully in one's consciousness, Atma Mati, when one's consciousness is absorbed in him, material consciousness and contamination is vanquished. Thus the word Brahmanavana Sukham indicates that when one is in touch with the Absolute Truth, material sense gratification is completely nullified. So Prahlad is going to continue exhorting his schoolmates to only serve the Lord. And why engage in anything else but his service? So text 38. Oh my friends, sons of the Asuras, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his supersoul feature, always exists within the cores of the hearts of all living entities. Indeed, he is the well-wisher and friend of all living entities. And there is no difficulty in worshipping the Lord. Why then should people not engage in his devotional service? Why are they so addicted to unnecessarily producing artificial paraphernalia for sense gratification? There's no difficulty in worshiping the Lord, and worshiping at the on the altar of sense gratification, producing unnecessary paraphernalia, is so painful and so difficult. Here's what Prabhupada says about this, a little bit in the beginning. So wonderful, Prabhupada says, it's so easy to serve the Lord, even though we may be struggling like anything. Prahlad is saying it's so easy. Why? The Lord in his supersoul feature always stays in the heart along with the living entity. The Lord is so friendly to the living entity that he remains within the heart so that one can always contact him. One can always contact him without difficulty. One could do this simply by devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Parasevanam. As soon as one hears of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna Kirtana, one immediately comes in touch with the Lord. So easy to come in touch with the Lord and the pleasure thereof. A devotee immediately comes in touch with the Lord by any or all of the items of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanavedanam. Therefore, there is no difficulty in coming in contact with the Supreme Lord. Ko, ti, prayasaha. On the other hand, going to hell requires great endeavor. If one wants to go to hell by illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, and intoxication, he must acquire so many things. For illicit sex, he must arrange for money for brothels. For meat eating, he must arrange for many slaughterhouses. For gambling, he must arrange for casinos and hotels. And for intoxication, he must open many breweries. Clearly, therefore, if one wants to go to hell, he must endeavor very much. So much paraphernalia is required to, quote, enjoy, end quote, in the material world, with the result of becoming so contaminated and so dissatisfied and so covered, so unsatisfied. The more one walks down this path, which is hard to walk down so much paraphernalia and endeavor is required to get the paraphernalia to make the attempt to enjoy, with the result of dissatisfaction and ultimate result of so much sinful contamination, and one suffers so much hellish existence. But if one wants to go home back to return home back to Godhead, there is no difficult endeavor, because Krishna is always there. To go back to Godhead One may live alone anywhere, in any condition, and simply sit down, meditate upon the super soul, and chant and hear about the Lord. Thus there is no difficulty in approaching the Lord. Because of inability to control the senses, one must go through great endeavor to go to hell. For if one is sensible, he can very easily obtain the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because, why can one very easily obtain his favor? Because the Lord is always with him. So that's how a devotee thinks, oh Krishna. And he's calling to Krishna. How can I attain your favor? Please engage me in your service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And he's right there. So when he has that mood, if a devotee has that mood, and a devotee will have that mood, then he can easily cross the ocean of material existence. Because the Lord is always with him. By the simple method, Prabhupada continues, of Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, the Lord is satisfied. Indeed, the Lord says, Patram Pushpam Palam Doyam Yume Bhakti Priyachati Taraham Bhakti Paritam Asnami Paritatmanaha. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. Bhagavad Gita 9:26. One can meditate upon the Lord anywhere and everywhere. Thus Prahlad Maharaj advised his friends, the sons of the demons, to take this path back to home, back to Godhead, without difficulty. So he's admonishing them to take to devotional service and telling them, don't get involved in material life. Why? Because other pursuits on the material level for happiness, they're useless. Useless, worse than useless, because uselessness is neutral. But these bring us downward. One's riches, text 39, beautiful wife, female friends, one's sons and daughters, one's residence, one's domestic animals like cows, elephants, and horses, one's treasury. Nowadays, domestic animals means dogs and cats. But cows, elephants, these are possessions. Indeed, even the lifetime in which one can enjoy all these material opulences, one's riches, beautiful wife and female friends, one's sons and daughters, one's residence, one's domestic animals like cows, elephants and horses, one's treasury, economic development and sense gratification. Indeed, even the lifetime in which one can enjoy all these material opulences are certainly temporary and flickering. Since the opportunity of human life is temporary, what benefit can these material opulences give to a sensible man who has understood himself to be eternal? Prabhupada's purport. This verse describes how the advocates of economic development are frustrated by the laws of nature. As the previous verse asks, Kim Vishayo Papadanai, what is the actual benefit of so-called economic development? The history of the world has factually proved that attempts to increase economic development for bodily comfort through the advancement of material civilization have done nothing to remedy the inevitability of birth, death, old age, and disease. Everyone has knowledge of huge empires throughout the history of the world. The Roman Empire, the Mughal Empire, the British Empire, and so on. But all the societies engaged in such economic development, sarve artikamaha, have been frustrated by the laws of nature through periodic wars, pestilence, famine, and so on. Thus all their attempts have been flickering and temporary. In this verse, therefore, it is said, Kiyat priyam chalaha. One may be very proud of possessing a vast empire, but such empires are impermanent. And after 100 or 200 years, everything is finished. All such positions of economic development, although created with great endeavor and hardship, are vanquished very soon. Therefore, they have been described as chalaha. An intelligent man should conclude that material economic development is not at all pleasing. The entire world is described in Bhagavad Gita as dukkhalayama shashvata, miserable and temporary. Economic development may be very pleasing for some time, but it cannot endure. Thus, many big businessmen are now very morose because they are being harassed by various plundering governments. In conclusion, why should one waste his time for so-called economic development, which is neither permanent nor pleasing to the soul? On the other hand, our relationship with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is eternal. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. The pure souls are eternally in love with Krishna. And this permanent love, either as a servant, a friend, a parent, or a conjugal lover, is not at all difficult to revive. Especially in this age, the concession is that simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam, one revives his original condition, his original relationship with God, and thus becomes so happy that he does not want anything material. As enunciated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavitam Va Jagadisha Kamani. A very advanced devotee in Krishna consciousness does not want riches, followers, or possessions. Raya Kalatram Pasava Sutadayo Grihamahi Kunjarakosha Bhutaya. The satisfaction of possessing material opulences, although perhaps of a different standard, is available even in the lives of dogs and hogs who cannot revive their eternal relationship with Krishna. In human life, however, our eternal dormant relationship with Krishna is possible to revive. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj has described this life as artadam. Consequently, instead of wasting our time for economic development, which cannot give us any happiness, if we simply try to revive our eternal relationship with Krishna, we will properly utilize our lives. So Prahlad is preaching very strongly to his school friends. Text 40. So not only are these pursuits available in this world are useless, also that which one can attain through heavenly enjoyment is also useless. It is learned from Vedic literature that by performing great sacrifices one may elevate himself to the heavenly planets. However, although life on the heavenly planets is hundreds and thousands of times more comfortable than life on earth, the heavenly planets are not pure, nirmalam, or free from the taint of material existence. The heavenly planets are also temporary, and therefore they are not the goal of life. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, has never been seen or heard to possess inebriety. Consequently, for your own benefit and self-realization, you must worship the Lord with great devotion, as described in the revealed scriptures. We'll read some of Prabhupada's purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Chine Punyam Atyalokam Vashanti. Even if one is promoted to the higher planetary systems by performing great sacrifices, which are accompanied by the sinful acts of sacrificing animals, the standard of happiness in Swargaloka is also not free of disturbance. There is a similar struggle for existence even for the King of Heaven, Indra. Thus there is no practical benefit in promoting oneself to the heavenly planets. Indeed, from the heavenly planets one must return to this earth after one has exhausted the results of his pious activities. Not only that, so earthly pleasures, heavenly pleasures, they don't bring what we want. And now Prahlad is going to explain that they bring the opposite of what we desire. Not only don't we get what we want, we get what we don't want. We get the opposite of what we want. And then we're thinking, oh, only if I just make this adjustment, then the thing I want will come. And then we get entangled more and more in the complexities of material life. So Prahlad continues, text 41. A materialistic person, thinking himself very advanced in intelligence, continually acts for economic development. But again and again, as enunciated in the Vedas, he is frustrated by material activities, either in this life or in the next. Indeed, the results one obtains are inevitably the opposite of those one desires. Prabhupada's short purport here. No one has ever achieved the results he desired from material activities. On the contrary, everyone has been frustrated again and again. Therefore, one must not waste his time in such material activities for sensual pleasure, either in this life or in the next. So many nationalists, economists, and other ambitious persons have tried for happiness individually or collectively. But history proves that they have all been frustrated. In recent history, we have seen many political leaders work hard for individual and collective economic development, but they have all failed. This is the law of nature, as clearly explained in the next verse. This is just the bad news we don't want to hear, that all material attempts at happiness bring distress. This planet, heavenly planets, we get the opposite. We get distress, just what we don't want. It's like the travel ads for a vacation wonderland. You know, in the ads, it looks so ideal, and we get drawn into thinking only if I'm there. But when we get there, it's the same old thing. The same old thing. We have to eat. You know, the weather's too hot, too cold. This is polluted, that's polluted. We've paid all our money. So much anxiety. We have to run around wondering about this, wondering about that. People are trying to cheat us continually. On and on and on. We want the sun, it rains. We want it rain, it's too hot. Whatever. It just, this is the very nature of the material world. The attempts bring distress. When we get what we want, we're afraid of losing it. Distress. When we don't get what we want, we see someone has something that we think will make us happy. Anxiety, envy, desire enters the heart. So therefore, the nirvana that was described, the absence of material desires, as opposed to the attempt to satisfy the material desires, brings thousands of times more happiness than the material desires. What to speak of Krishna consciousness? But Prahlad is pushing his friends to understand. In this material world, every materialist desires to achieve happiness and diminishes distress. Every materialist. And therefore he acts accordingly. Actually, however, one is happy as long as one does not endeavor for happiness. As soon as one begins his activities for happiness, his conditions of distress begin. The mind is in. As soon as the mind is focused on getting some happiness, distress is what comes. Because there's never enough happiness. Because the soul can't be happy on the material level, but the mind doesn't know that, the body doesn't know that. So it's always, always grasping for something it doesn't have. Read from Prabhupada's purport. The body is just like an instrument by which the living entity moves according to false desires for happiness and thus suffers the pangs of birth, death, old age, and disease in different standards of life. Whether we have a great standard of life and die as a rich man or in the best room of the hospital, or if we're dying as a poor man in the worst room of the hospital or on the street or something, Is the rich man enjoying his death and the poor man is suffering his death? No. So everyone suffers the pangs of birth, death, old age, and disease in different standards of life. Everyone begins his activities with some plan and ambition, but actually from the beginning of one's plan to the end, one does not derive any happiness. On the contrary, as soon as one begins acting according to his plan, his life of distress immediately begins. Therefore, one should not be ambitious to dissipate the unhappy conditions of life, for one cannot do anything about them. Ahankara vimudatma kartahamiti manyate. Although one is acting according to false ambitions, he thinks he can improve his material conditions by his activities. The Vedas enjoin that one should not try to increase happiness or decrease distress, for this is futile. Tasyaiva hetu prayateti kovida. One should work for self-realization, not for economic development, which is impossible to improve. Without endeavor, one can get the amount of happiness and distress for which he is destined, and one cannot change this. Therefore, it is better to use one's time for advancement in the spiritual life of Krishna consciousness. One should not waste his valuable life as a human being. It is better to utilize this life for developing Krishna consciousness without ambitions for so-called happiness. So what brings us the trouble? What confounds our desires? Prahlad will now explain that it's the material body itself. A living entity desires comfort for his body and makes many plans for this purpose. But actually, the body is the property of others. Indeed, the perishable body embraces the living entity and then leaves him aside. What is it called when the body leaves the living entity aside? It's called death. Everything turns to ashes. Since the body itself, text 44, is ultimately meant to become stool or earth, what is the meaning of the paraphernalia related to the body, such as wives, residences, wealth, children, relatives, servants, friends, kingdoms, treasuries, animals, and ministers? They are also temporary. What more can be said about this? So, let's stop here. Text 44. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sri Prahlad Maharaj ki jai, Sri Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Radhastami Mahamahutsava ki jai.